is the Your Pleasure Path podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Drysdale, and I'm here with Stephen Quaterer. I'm so excited to have Stephen on the podcast today. He's been an executive in technology startups over the last 9 years and founded a sex tech company called Thought Experiment to combine his professional experience in technology with his personal mission to change society's framing around sex, rejecting stigma and control, and instead grounding in consent and safety. And so I actually came across Stephen through one of our mutual friends, Kale, with the Moan app, because Stephen created this amazing app called Hetero, which promotes like sex positivity, of course, but specifically around like oral sex, which like I'm an oral enthusiast, so I'm very excited to have Stephen on.
I'm very excited to be on, and yes, in case it's not clear, very much an oral enthusiast myself.
We love that. I feel like I almost need to add like oral enthusiasts on like, my resume or yes. Like my LinkedIn profile.
Somewhere.
Oral enthusiast. Yes. So do you want to share a little bit more about you and like what got you started in this space and specifically around like what inspired you to create this app called Hetero, like specifically around like oral?
So my name is Stephen. My pronouns are he, him. I identify as gay and pansexual. I grew up in Long Island. I live in New York City, and I've lived here for like 15 and a half, almost 16 years, which has been a long run, and I've really enjoyed it. I love this. I love New York City. I'm the founder and CEO of Thought Experiment, and that's where we make sex-positive, inclusive, and joyful platforms for sexual exploration and experimentation. Our first platform is Hetero, the first hookup app for people who love oral pleasure. And I think kind of about me, you know, and what brought me to the sex and sexuality space and the sex tech space, you know, really I've been a fairly sexual person since adolescence. But I really began the sexual kind of like discovery process in earnest as a gay identifying man in my 20s in New York City after kind of my first post-college relationship. I was newly out, newly single, and yeah, I was in my 20s. So I was going to a lot of dating, new friends, and began to really explore and understand gay culture. And, you know, kind of like sort of with tentative steps, you know, I remember like really being like fearful of my going to my first gay bar or of going to like Fire Island, which is like a predominantly gay, you know, there's a gay summer town in Fire Island, which is amazing. You know, but I did those things, those steps, and developed, you know, a close group of friends and lovers who helped me, I mean, like a lot of other things, kind of like emerge from a worldview that framed sex as shameful to one that framed sex as joyful. Mm-hmm. And the contrast between that understanding and the dominant societal framing around sex, which is like stigma, is really what animated me to focus on the sex and sexuality space and ultimately the sex tech space. And, you know, that framing, that disconnect just continues to animate me every day. There's just so much growth for us as human beings and as a society in embracing a sex positive worldview that I think is just going to really liberate us. And I think that will extend well beyond sex and sexuality, right? Because this is so core to us, and yet we're so kind of locked into this negative framing. So that's what brought me to kind of like the sex tech space. You know?
Yeah. It's funny. I feel like with everyone that I talk to in the sexuality industry, regardless of like the type of role they play within it, like I think every single one of us has had some sort of experience that have shaped us into wanting to make it sort of our personal mission. We're like, because we were like wanting something else, or because we wanted to explore more and felt like we were stigmatized for it, therefore we're creating change that we want to see in the world, which I mean, that's how you create it by yeah. like doing it. It's like, if you don't see something that you want, like create it.
Build it. Totally. Yeah, and so the idea for Hetero app specifically, you know, was really influenced by my sexual journey and my own experience kind of understanding my own sexuality. And, you know, kind of like I mentioned earlier, I identify as gay and pansexual. Mm-hmm. And while a really liberating journey, sexual journey, thanks to my gay identity and my friends and lovers in the gay community, I still felt confined by societal sexuality labels. Even the notion of being gay and pansexual, like, it's not logically consistent, right? We know that. And my experience with it, you know, I wanted to see if I could use like a predominantly straight dating site to find a new partner, to meet and match with a woman after, like, between one of my, like, relationships. And I tried that. And when I disclosed that I had sex with men and that I identified as gay, like, it was just an immediate shutdown. And you know, that kind of had a really, I've recognized the right of anyone, right? Like, you can connect with me if you want, and if you don't, like, consent is like the core of everything. However, kind of just the way that it played out, and in part because the way that system was architected, was really negative for me personally. And I just went back in the closet, and that pansexual side of myself was just like, I kind of like, it just went into the ether for like 10 years. And so when I started thinking about entering the sex tech space, you know, that challenge and sort of getting away from the sexuality boxes that society says we need to be in was a really big part of kind of the conception. And so I looked at the dating and hookup apps, and they were really very largely built around these, like, societal boxes. And, you know, and really focused, hyper-focused on specific identities. So, like, even within the gay world, right, like, you've got apps for, you know, people based on their body type or literally their facial hair or, you know, ethnicity, you name it. And what that was doing is sort of just like pulling us ever, ever and ever farther apart. And so I just wanted to take that paradigm and, like, for lack of a better term, turn it on its head. And so rather than hyper-focusing on identity, we focus on desire, because with desire, you can be for people of all identities. And then oral pleasure to me was really natural. One, because I am 100% huge oral enthusiast.
Love it. Here for it.
Right. And there are a lot of other people, like, it's lovely. It's extremely pleasurable, intimate, erotic. It's great. But so oral pleasure is highly stigmatized. And so we wanted to take that head on, right? Like, we wanted to go right after it and say, no, this is who we are. And, you know, so long as it's grounded in consent and safety, what is wrong with being a space for people that like oral pleasure? So it was very intentional to take on the societal stigma, you know, directly, because that's really core to the broader mission as company, as an organization for us.
Yeah, I love that. Like, already, like, you're doing so much, you're, like, smashing so many stigmas when it comes to just how we identify ourselves and, like, how society tends to label us. And I think, like, society, we do that in society because that's how we, like, create meaning and, like, understand. So in a way, there's a reason why we're doing it, but sure. I feel like oftentimes society does it too much. It's like, you either fit in this box or you don't. And if you don't, then you're ostracized, period. Right. And it's like, you're doing that with sexual orientation. You're doing that with gender identity. And you're doing that with, like, destigmatizing oral. You're also, like, some features in the app that I really like too is, like, you're able to put in, I think, your STI status.
Yeah.
Which is, like, super important. And, like, for me, for someone who, like, has herpes and, like, has outbreaks, like, I, like, in the normal, like, heterocentric, like, apps like Bumble, Tinder, Hinge, whatever, like, I was just starting to add my HSV 1 and 2 in my bio.
Yeah.
And, like, but now it's like, this is something that's actually integrated within the app, and it makes having those conversations about safe sex, like, even easier. And, like, I have found the more that I, like, get into my own, like, sexual journey, like, I don't like using any of those other apps. And I only will use apps that are based in, like, the sex positive community. Cause I'm like, why the fuck not?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, why limit? And, you know, because they adhere so rigidly to the, you know, to societal boxes and really fundamentally to stigma, it really just makes for a negative experience, honestly. because you can't have that conversation openly. You can't connect with people. You can't explore. You know, you've got to fake it in so many ways. And it's like, well, why? Why do we need to fake this? Because as long as it's grounded in consent and safety, then this is a great thing that we're doing. We're learning about ourselves. We're learning about each other. I can find a partner for me, the main thing is I can find a partner to pleasure. Like, that's what I want, right? Like, that's what I'm looking for. And why should I have to hide that? There's no reason, in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's great too. It's like, even just saying like, I'm finding a partner to pleasure or like give pleasure to, I feel like a lot of the times just in society too, it's like, it's this weird like catch-22. It's like we think about it in relationships, sexual or otherwise, it's like it's supposed to be reciprocal fully. Like if mm-hmm. you give, you also receive. But mm-hmm. like it took me 10 years of having sex to realize I prefer to just receive. Yeah. I just want that. Sure. And like even just feeling comfortable with saying that and being yeah. like, yeah, maybe I am a pillow princess. I'm still a very active participant. Don't get me wrong. But like, yes. if someone wants to go down on me for 2 hours, am I going to say no? Absolutely not. Like, absolutely not. And so it's just like, I think it's great that like you're able to provide a platform where people who just like want to give can find totally. Someone to give to and someone who wants to receive or vice versa. I still give great head, don't get me wrong. And like I love to do it in the right situation. Sure. But like yeah. especially if like someone is going down on me forever and I'm just like, wow, this is amazing, that's gonna make me want to give it more. I'm like, okay, hell yeah. You're yeah. making me feel really good. How can I make you feel good? And so I think it like opens up a conversation like even deeper around like pleasure. And like, yeah. I think there was a time too when I wasn't having any partnered sex at all. Mm-hmm. I was only, mm-hmm. I was like celibate for 15 months, still masturbating. But there was a time where I was like, I want to find a play partner, but I don't want penetration. Mm-hmm. And we think that like sex has to equal penetration. And it's yeah. just like, what?
Absolutely. It really does not. It does not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like, I love like how apps like Hetero like create more conversation too around like sex can be defined in any way, and oral sex is still sex. And this can Absolutely. Be something that's so intimate and in a lot of ways, even more intimate than penetration, because so, how yeah. more intimate can something be with your mouth on someone's genitals?
It's seriously, that's, it's just, it's like, it's the height of intimacy. It's so erotic, and it's, you give so many pathways to give and receive pleasure, right? Like it's our, literally the most articulate parts of our body and the most sensitive parts of our body. Like that's a match made in heaven. I don't know how else to put it. Like it's yeah. wonderful.
100%. Yeah. So I just love that you created this app and you're allowing people to think sort of differently about sex and how they relate to sex and how they interact with sex and like other people around sex too. And like just having those conversations. I fucking love it.
You're making my heart sing, seriously. It's just that's so good. Awesome.
No, yeah. literally, when Kale, like, I think he texted me or DM'd me or something, he was like, you should connect with Steven, like, this app is amazing, you'd love it. And when I first downloaded it, I actually was pretty overwhelmed, because I got 40 messages in, like, 24 hours, and I was like, I'm tired just speaking about it.
Yeah, that's fair, that might... You think people are coming on, they're excited. People are very excited. It's new. Oh, yeah. So
I was like, oh wow.
There's a lot of enthusiasm.
I was like, I knew I'm hot, but damn.
Yeah. It's awesome.
It was so cool. But yeah, no, I I love it. I love that you're providing a platform for people in this way. It's just so good. So other than like oral sex, what do you think is one of the most underrated sex acts?
Other than oral sex?
I mean, oral definitely is underrated. Absolutely. Yeah. If I just had to pick one my whole life, it would be oral. Like I could leave penetration. I don't really care.
Yeah. I would agree, honestly. Yeah, I mean, oral for me, and you know, not to go so deep, but like it also gives you so much like versatility, right? That you can introduce like dominance and submission, right? Like face fucking or face sitting, like, you know, if you want to be the submissive partner, or you can be active, right, as well, where, you know, like, no, I'm going to do this kind of like, I'm taking the active role. And of course, there's always that feedback loop is always present for good oral sex, right? Like you're seeing what is making your partner, like you can feel it so intimately, like that gasp when you're doing it just the right way. And you're like, oh, well, I'm going to keep on doing this. Or you've got a playlist going, you know, it's really wonderful. And the fact that it is underrated, I find, like, you know, I've kind of puzzled myself as to why. And I think it really just fundamentally, it comes down to stigma, you know, and like it's stigmatized. And I think for really paradoxical reasons, it's highly stigmatized because it's highly pleasurable. Like, that's it. It's not here for babies. It's, you know, like it's, you know, like it's here for pleasure. And that's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. Like, who doesn't need more pleasure in their life? And giving that pleasure to partner, or being the recipient of that pleasure from your partner, is, it's wonderful. And it's so, you know, you get a really deep and wonderful connection with that person. And you could also do like anonymous or whatever, you know, there are, again, the versatility is basically endless, but, you know, it's just, it's really an incredible act. And so that's what animates me. It's why I kind of made hetero for it.
Oh, you know? Yeah. What would you say, like, what's your formula or like secret sauce to have like the best oral?
Yeah.
What would you say it, like, creates the perfect scenario?
Yeah, I think it's taking that that connection and that intimacy, keeping it in the forefront of your mind, because, you know, if you're the giver, right, it allows for you to just feel your partner and to feel their energy. And if you take that and you run with it, and you just constantly, like, you're open to change, you're open to that connection and that flow between the two of you, then it could take a whole lot of different forms. Like, I have given a lot of oral in my day, and some people really like a certain way.
We thank you for your service.
Yes. I'm gladly given. But yeah, you know, whether it's like a, you know, like, and I'm also a big fan of like oral playlists, but it's really like the person who's receiving, like, I'd like to know, like, what do you like, right? Like, what's, you know, whether it, you know, it could be any number of playlists, but then I just kind of like go with that. And then, you know, I find out what works for them. And then it's just like, you get into that rhythm. And then of course, always like, it gives you a really great avenue to play, right? Like, where you can play and you can riff on this. Like, okay, you've got a rhythm and you can tell they're starting to get a little bit close. And, you know, sometimes it's like, you want to just like pull back a little bit and like do a different thing, and then like step back. And maybe if they're down with it, like incorporate a little bit of like, you know, body touching or body licking, or if their nipples are super sensitive, then like go there for a bit and then come back down and get back into the rhythm. And then you just have all of this agency, right, that you can play with, that just, you can bring your partner to truly, I think, like, the sky is the limit, ever greater and greater heights of pleasure. And that could be in one session, it can be in multiple sessions, but it's just like this learning feedback loop. Because, you know, unlike penetrative sex, where like you just don't have as much control over all of your parts, right? Like, you have pretty much perfect control over your mouth and your face, and you can do a lot with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think too, like, you know, obviously, like, pleasure is at the center here. Like, oral literally is just for pleasure, and like, that's it. But I think also, it gives us opportunity and time to like slow down and actually like enjoy the process and the journey of it, because it's not so focused on like finishing or like the end result, the climax. Like, yeah, obviously orgasms do happen, especially for the, like, I'm multi-orgasmic, like, sometimes I'm like so exhausted with how many times I come. It's crazy. But it's just like, literally, awesome. But it's like, even if you don't, like, that's okay too. It's about enjoying the journey, enjoying the experience, like, really getting in tune with like the sensations of like what feels good on your body, whether it's nipple play, like integrating breath work for me has been like, oh, such a game changer too. Cause it's like, these are like very simple things that you can do that just help allow you to be like more mindful and just like present in the moment and like fully enjoy the experience, whether you're like the giver or the receiver.
Yeah, that's such a great point. And now that you mention this, I think that I have integrated breath play totally unconsciously, because partially like when I'm giving head to a guy, like that's going to just sort of naturally happen in life.
Yeah, when you have a cock in your mouth, that'll happen.
that's a thing that will happen. But just being totally present with each other, and you can tell that your partner is totally present, and you go into some other space, and that other space is just so pleasurable. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, that reminded me too, there's a partner that I was hooking up with a couple weeks ago, and like I was sitting on his face, and like he was like into it, and then he was like, I need to breathe. And I was like, do you really need to? Like, you don't want my pussy on your face? And he's like, I mean, I do, but I also need breathe. And I was like, I guess. I tied him up too, so like he really
missed. Oh my god, that's perfect. Oh, that is dream material. And you know what? Fuck it. I don't need to breathe. No. If I'm gonna go, this is a great way to go.
I was like, are you sure? And he's like, yes. I was like, okay, I'll give you 5 seconds. Countdown is now.
Oh my god, that's amazing. It's super hot.
Super hot. Did I see him again? No. I was like, that's done. But I think it's so important too. It's just like, even in situations, whether it's like a consistent partner, someone you're dating and a relationship with, a new person, like whoever, whatever the dynamic, it's like having that open communication is so important too. And like, we need to feel more comfortable to like express our needs. Obviously, I'm like joking about like not letting him breathe.
Sure, I did sure. Yes, let him breathe. We dearly hope.
He did breathe. He's okay. He's alive. I did not smother him with the perfume.
Okay. Okay.
But like, you know, we can have those conversations and like adjust. Like another partner I had, like he was going down on me, eating me from behind, which so fucking hot. I love like all the different positions. Yeah. And then he was like giving me a rim job, and like I was recovering from a UTI. So I was like, please no. Like this is what started it. Like,
okay. Got it. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
It's not. Yeah. And he was just like, okay. I was like, I'd prefer no ass play today. And he was like, okay. And I think it's important to normalize, like having those conversations, setting those boundaries. Like, obviously if it's like a hard limit, like have that conversation before you're even like becoming sexually intimate with someone. Absolutely. But also it's okay to adjust in the moment too. Like if something's not working, or if you don't like something, or even if you just need to change up the position, like maybe the way that you're like eating someone out or like giving head, like your shoulder feels like it's about to give out, and you're
right,
like, my face is like, my fingers are numb. Like I can't, but it's like, you're like in it and they're so close, but you're like, I literally like, oh my God,
something's going to break.
Like, that's okay. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay to like break the state. It's okay to ask for what you need. It's okay to switch up positions. Like, it's totally fine. It's also okay to say like, if something's not working. And I feel like, I think a lot of the times, like for women especially, like we're known for faking orgasms because you know, sometimes it's just like people don't know what they're doing. But I think it's like it's hard because we almost like, we need to have a good relationship with ourselves, our bodies, our own pleasure. That's why like with the coaching I do, like I am such a believer in everyone having self-pleasure and mm-hmm. knowing what feels good with your own body so that you can communicate that with your partner.
Yeah, of course.
And so it's like, but it's also at the same time, it's like your partner is not responsible for your pleasure either. You mm-hmm. are. And mm-hmm. for you to mm-hmm. get yourself there, you have to be able to communicate what you want and what you need. And mm-hmm. if they can't get you there, that's okay. Even if they're mm-hmm. a willing participant, even if they want to. Like, you're still in control and of your own pleasure.
Yeah, that's great. That's a really, it's so important. I think that's integral to the mind shift around sex away from stigma, because like I think that you know, like that notion of sex being, you know, of your pleasure not being your own, I think is grounded in that same worldview of like stigma and control, right? Like sex is for a purpose and it's not for your purpose. And it's like, no, it's for you. It's for you to enjoy. It's your pleasure. Do put that in the forefront. And of course your partner's pleasure is integral as well. And for someone like me, where like my pleasure is like a second derivative for my partner's pleasure, like that's, you know, that's cool too. Right? Like it's still my pleasure that I'm focusing on by focusing on your pleasure, you know?
100%. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, yeah, having that awareness around like, what is something that brings me pleasure? What is something that can help me have more pleasure? What can help me pleasure my partner? It's like having that awareness around your own stuff as well as your partner and or however many people are involved, right? Because we're into orgies, threesomes, whatever.
Totally. Yeah. Partners.
Anything goes, partners. Like, it's like having that awareness around your own stuff with your partners. And it's just like, yeah, sex gets to be mutually enjoyable and everyone gets to be an active participant and get their needs met. And like, if it doesn't happen in the moment, like that's okay. Like we can adjust and move and shift things. Also, I think it's okay to normalize, like maybe you just want to receive one time and then the next time focus on the other partner. And like, that's fine too. Like it doesn't have to be, we spend 5 hours together and like 2.5 hours is on
exactly.
me and 2.5 is on you. Or maybe you spend like 30 minutes going down on me and I give you a hand job, but you still like splooge everywhere in 5 minutes. And like, that's okay too. Like,
oh yeah.
I just, you're like,
that's great.
Well, like, yeah. It doesn't have to be this like tit for tat thing. And it's right. like, as long as we're communicating our pleasure, our desires, and everyone's having a good time, like that's really all that matters here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and totally, like personally, like yeah, sit on my face and if I however long it takes me to come while you're doing, like that's great. We are great. We are in a very good place as a relationship. And then I would also say, kind of very intentionally, we integrated that into the app where you can state whether you're eager to please or eager to be pleased, and you can just change that dynamic really at any time, and it will just show you people who are down with either being pleased or pleasing. Because yeah, some days you want to be pleased. Like I'm going to go out and seek that and that's okay. And some days I want to please and you can seek that. And of course you can find that in one partner. That's definitely also very much a possibility or a likelihood, but wanted to integrate that concept to the app as well.
Yeah, I think I definitely did be pleased. And I think I also put no reciprocation.
I love it. I love that. That's great. That's like, that's such a, like, I am searching on like, I am pleased and I want the no reciprocation. Cause like, I like that dynamic. I love it. It's great. It's so hot.
It's so funny. Cause like, I feel like the person who, like I had this sexual experience that like really opened my Pandora's box to like pleasure. Cause like, I started having sex really young, like about 14. It was good. I used it more for like stress relief and like, because I thought it was cool and like I enjoyed doing it, but it wasn't just like, it wasn't focused on my pleasure. Like I would still orgasm, but I was just like, yeah, I'm doing it. Like part of it was like the taboo, like the risky situations, like semi-public, anonymous, like hookup kind of thing. And like I was super into that. And then there's this one partner that I had, it was like a fuck buddy situation after college. I think it was like 23. And like the first time we went on a date, the date was good. The first time we had sex, not great. I came like once, which I know for a lot of people, like, great, you come once. For me, I'm like, that's not enough.
Yeah, we're just getting started. I love it.
Like, I don't know. And I almost didn't see him again because like the sex was like, really not that good. And I only came because I was in control of my orgasm. But then every time I saw him, it got like better and better and better. It went from 1 to 3 to 9 orgasms each time to 12. And then like this was only, I'd known him for like maybe just a month or two. And he was like, for my birthday, he wanted to gift me as many orgasms as possible. Like, not even kidding.
Wow.
And
I was like, okay.
Awesome. So like, and that I feel like was the first experience that I had that was like actually focused on like my pleasure and my pleasure alone. That was the first time I felt like I had permission to receive and receive fully. And like, in that experience, it was like 2 hours. I came 32 times in 2 hours.
Wow.
He unlocked my multi-orgasmic Pandora's box. It was incredible. And guess how many times he came?
One or zero? You tell me. Yeah,
zero.
I love it. Yeah.
Zero.
Wow.
Because like, it wasn't for him.
It was for
like,
you. Yeah.
It was for me. And that gave him so much pleasure just to know that he was able to make me feel so good.
Yeah.
And like, we did still have sex too, but a lot of it was like oral. I got like nipplegasms. I got orgasms just from like kissing my neck and shit like that. Like all sorts of like other erogenous zones. And I feel like we don't take the time to explore these parts of our bodies and explore like all aspects of pleasure, and especially like blended orgasms too. It's like, once you start that train, you gotta just like keep going, even if you're like, I don't know if I can go over
it. Go over it.
You can't keep going. Run that fucking train. You know?
Yeah.
It's just like having that experience, like after that, I was like, fuck this. So anytime I would hook up with anyone, oral became a non-negotiable immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone wouldn't go down on me, I'm like, I would kick them out straight up. I'm like, delete my number. You're dead to me. You're dead to me.
Yeah.
I literally like, and this guy like moved away, so it was a very short-lived like sexual
Yeah,
I know, but it was like it was so transformative, so I'm like, I'm glad I had it.
That's clearly stayed with you, and it unlocked that part of yourself, and that's beautiful. That's amazing.
It unlocked everything. But yeah, after that experience, like literally, I think like he had already moved away. I had like a roster of fuck buddies, but I was always like recruiting more people. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can always have
you can kind of never have too many.
Yeah, I needed a B, C, D, E, F team. But like, there was one dude I was talking to that was, he was someone I knew in high school. And this is after college. So I'd known him for like almost 10 years. And we'd never hooked up before, but we were like sexting and stuff like that. So I finally invited him over. He came over. He was like, I'm not going to go down on you because I don't know you well enough. Mm. And I'm just like, excuse me?
Yeah. What is that? I honestly don't really know what that means.
Like, what? And I was like, how, like, you've known me for 10 years. And then I've had other partners in the past, like, say, oh, well, I only do that with someone that I'm dating. So I'm like, okay, so you like me enough to fuck me.
Right.
You don't like me enough to give me pleasure. And you don't like me enough to date me either. So then what the fuck are we doing
here? Yeah. Like, okay, thank you for, like, revealing a whole suite of flags.
Your true intention.
Right, like, all the flags. Like, no thanks.
Yeah. And it's just like, I feel like, having that awareness about like, okay, well, oral is my non-negotiable. And if I'm interacting with people who just don't see the same way, I'm not even going to bother wasting my time. So I literally kicked this guy out. I blocked him on everything. He still to this day tries to find me on all my other accounts and stuff. And I'm like, dude, you missed your chance.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. And that same night, I was so frustrated that I booty called someone else who also wouldn't go down on me. And I was
this is just a bad night. It's like, all right.
I was just like, oh, guess I'm clam jammed. It's okay.
I've never heard the term clam jam, and I love it.
It's so good. Normalize the clam. Well, actually, don't normalize the clam jam, because, like, no one wants to be clam jammed. But I think that's also, like, we don't talk about that, too. It's, like, everyone talks about, like, blue balls and, like, oh, you gotta, like, just suck it. Just put it in your mouth just a little bit. Just, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. Like, I just need it. But it's just, like, we experience that, too. Like, vulva people, like, people with vulvas experience that, too. Like, literally, we all get sexually frustrated. And, like, nothing bad's gonna happen if you don't orgasm. Like, just
but it still sucks.
It sucks. It's it can be painful and uncomfortable, but it's just like, it's not your partner's responsibility to take care of your sexual frustration.
Yeah, totally. Totally. To your earlier point, like, it is your pleasure. It's your pleasure path. It's your pleasure journey. Mm-hmm. 100%. That's reality. That's truth.
100%. 100%. Yeah. I feel like we should circle back to sort of like the accessibility features and like what all you include like within the app and like how would someone set up their profile and like what is available for them in order to like share about like their sexual preferences, desires, what they're looking for, because I feel like there's way more information that you're able to set within your app than any other app that I've seen.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate that. And honestly, where it's coming from is like, I am a very sexual person and I have used all the other apps and I wanted to create something that that's just better, honestly, on these dimensions. And, you know, accessibility, it's so important as well as education, because all of these topics are so grounded in stigma. So we feel like we can't talk about them. We feel like we can't disclose them. And putting them here in this space, which I know we've already talked about, it normalizes them. It opens the conversation. It allows for people to even like look at it and like, I don't even know what that is. And then that can go into a whole exploration or experimentation that may be the thing that unlocks the next great sexual journey, right? Like that unlocks for, you know, further pleasures. You know, so within the app, we have a whole host of things, you know, so like you log on, you look at, you know, your profile. So like, it just sort of like comes up immediately and you can swipe up and you can message right away, but you can, you know, select on your own profile and then filter for on other profiles, a whole host of things. Like, am I eager to please, eager to be pleased, or both? What gender identities am I down with? You know, what energies am I down with? And do I seek masculine energy or feminine energy? Because that obviously can be distinct from one's gender identity. You can filter based on our values rating, which I'll talk about that in a minute, because that's really core. And that's us trying to live into our grounding in consent and safety. And then like a whole host of dynamics, right? Like whether it's compersion, cuckolding, polyamory, you know, dates, chats, friends with benefits, female-led relationships was a big one that we had got requests for.
I've been getting messages from a lot of men who want that. I'm like, just because I'm confident doesn't mean that I want to lead everything. Like, I'm actually more submissive in the bedroom.
Oh, that's interesting. And then, you know, oral styles, you know, like, are you looking for sensual, rough, no reciprocation, edging, swallowing, all that sort of stuff, a whole host of kinks, you know, BDSM, you know, outdoors, role play, toys, underwear, and then just different body types. So those are like the different dynamics that we have in the app today. And, you know, it's fairly easy for us to add new stuff. So we're always listening, we're hearing, you know, what the community is seeking. And to the extent that there's something missing, it's like, let's add that, let's do it, because we just want to enable people to connect in all of these different ways. And then also just to explore and question, right? Like, what does this mean? And then we have educational resources that are kind of like embedded throughout to explain it so that you can say like, oh, that does sound kind of interesting. And I want to check it out. I want to meet someone who wants to explore that with me.
I love that, because it gives permission for people to change their mind and change their settings like as they desire. And also like educating people around like these different concepts too is important. And I know like, obviously people are like within BDSM, like kink lifestyle, like they're more educated around these things, but there might be people who are maybe more vanilla or haven't even explored any of it. And so they might see cuckolding and pegging and be like, what is that? Like, let me research and be like, oh yes, please.
That is a thing I actually, now I want that.
And so like, I think it's important to like normalize to like the education around it. And I love that like you're able to fully, it's kind of like it's creating a billboard for yourself, where it's just like being completely transparent. Hey, this is me. This is what I'm interested in. Like, do our interests align? And then that way, then you can have that conversation and like facilitate like hooking up or dating or whatever kind of dynamic. Like, I'm someone who prefers like dating with sex. I want more intimacy than casual sex, like versus in the past. It was as anonymous as possible. I'm like, I didn't want to know your name. I didn't know where you wanted, where you lived.
Wow.
All my three sons came from like randoms in a bar. Like, that was like, that was it.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, no, take me to dinner and then you can go down on me. and then like, let's talk a little bit. And like, we'll still have dirty sex and like, you can tell me, I can tell you whatever. Like, and I'm not like, oh, I have to wait till like the fifth. No, like, we'll fuck the first day. I don't care. We can fuck like 10 minutes after I meet you. I don't care. But like, I want more like connection. And it's like, it's great that you have that integrated in the app too. It's just like, even like the dates, the conversation, stuff like that. Cause like, we're able to create whatever like sexual life that we want. And it doesn't have to look traditional to any sort of thing out there. And it can change over time too. Like, maybe this month I want more dating and intimacy. Maybe next month I just want to be like gangbanged in a sex club.
Totally.
And,
like,
and that's okay too.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Like, that's part of the journey. It's not static. And that's part of the excitement and the pleasure. And it's certainly not been static for me. Like, I've grown and there are areas where just like, I had never thought that I would want this. I'm like, oh, now I totally do. And sometimes it's, it's dependent on the circumstance or dependent on the person. So yeah, it just gives you options and avenues to explore in a consent grounded space.
Yeah. And I love that you keep bringing up like consent and safety too. Like, what are some things that you're doing or planning to do with the app to like cultivate more like safety and consent with it?
Yeah. So I think it's twofold. Really for me, the most important things are to integrate education, because to your earlier point, there are a lot of people who really don't even know kind of the basics here. Like, they don't really know what consent means. So I think integrating education into the app is something that we've started doing. And we have big plans to continue to really go deep on that within the app. And then also enabling our community to actually, set the expectations and to have a sex positive community, I think is really, really key. So kind of one of the first steps that we've done there is we've created a guideline rating feature. So to the extent that you interact with someone, you can rate your interaction with that person on our core guidelines of inclusivity, sex positivity. We have to call it pleasure positivity in the app because of the app stores and enthusiasm, which is,
don't get me started.
and then, you know, enthusiastic consent. And what it allows for is, you know, a little bit more accountability. And the thought process is accountability is the first step to community. Because if you're not accountable, then everyone's just random and there's no consequence and there's no knowledge or information that persists. And the other thing that we're trying to do that's different from this, like, obviously we have the reporting feature, right? Like, so like, we'll boot people off if they're violating our guidelines. But what this also does is it creates a positive incentive structure, right? Because like, I want to be like 5 stars, which is a heart in our system, right? Like, I want to get that heart because like, I want to be like kick ass. And it enables you to say like, well, it goes beyond the basics of like of a single binary of a yes or no. It's, you know, inclusivity, like what would really garner a heart? Well, this person genuinely made me feel welcome. Or enthusiastic consent, like really communicated their boundaries, asked for my boundaries, and, you know, respected them and discussed them in the app, you know, in the act. And so it's just creating another layer to the kind of like in-app experience that ties to like the real world, which I think is really lacking in other spaces.
So these reviews, are they like the rating system? Is this just with people that you've messaged with that you have an opportunity? So it's not just like people who see you and they're like, I hate this fucking bitch. Like,
no.
Okay.
It's only if you message someone, then they have the opportunity to, so they can message you and they still can't rate you, right? But if you message them, then they have the opportunity to rate that interaction. And then those reviews, basically it's it goes to like a rating that will sit on your profile. So I've got a rating on my profile as to a lot of, you know, many, many hetero members, so that you can, you know, get some comfort that, you know, this is who this person is, right? And nothing's perfect, right? Like for safety, like we've got a whole host of safety guidelines. Like always use your intuition, use your judgment. This is not a perfect answer, but it's just, it's, you know, another tool that we think of as trying to give our community to keep, mm-hmm. to keep our
another
community
layer
safe.
Of accountability. Have you had many people who've had to be like booted off the app, or would you say given all of the features and like how you've built it and created it, like it's been a more like positive experience for most of the users?
I think it's been more positive. We've definitely had to remove people from the app, as I think is, you know, I think that's the
just
norm.
Just like given in the space, yeah.
Yeah, but I do think that we've had a more positive in general, because the other thing that we're doing, another thing that we're doing as it relates to community, is being intentional about how we actually go out and who we talk to about our app. And so talking with you and your audience and going to spaces and, you know, going to like sex positive places that are consent grounded in the first place, where it's not the first time. And it's particularly, I think, really important at the early days, right? Because this is the seed of the community, right? So not going out and trying to just like blast everywhere and get everyone, like, no, being intentional, building, because like that's always been in my mind, like this is the seed on which this community will crystallize over time, because they're going to set the norms, you know? And so that's kind of how we've thought about it.
Yeah, no, I love that, bringing the intentionality to the community, because it's like, even if you're not interacting with everyone, it's like you still, that's kind of how you have integrity with how you grow. And it's just like, okay, how can we, and I mean, like, I'm not trying to speak for you, but it's with anything, any community that you're building, it's like, how can you think about like, okay, what values do I have in this container that I'm trying to create? And how can I cultivate more people that have similar belief systems who will uphold these boundaries and have the same beliefs and the same values and allow it to just grow organically and naturally that way? And like, I know with like apps and tech and stuff, it's like, you can blow up overnight, like millions of people can download your app and like, great. But if they're the wrong people, then that's going to create a negative experience for the users that are already on the app.
Totally. You know, it's, you've got to have that, like that community first mentality. And then, you know, I do think that it can ultimately grow quite a bit, but you've got to take that early stages. And, you know, we were just very intentional. And then we have events where people come together and talk, you know, so it's like that stuff is, I think really, really fundamental. Like that's the core of what will hold this together over the longer term, both for hetero. And then, you know, the thought process with Thought Experiment is to connect with this community, ask the question, what else do you want, right? Like what other things can we build that would be useful for you? And then build that. And then that community expands. It becomes like an ecosystem of people that really fundamentally are connected through those core values, you know?
Mm-hmm. What other projects do you have going on through Thought Experiment, or like what else are you like working on at the moment?
So the next big one is education focused, actually, mm-hmm. And connecting, and you know, it's early days. It's still in the ideation stage, but I'm pretty clear that this is the path that I want to go. And it's sort of in learning that like, yeah, there's a lot more education that is needed. I think there's more that we can do. And whether that sits within hetero or sits under the Thought Experiment umbrella, but that can be integrated back, right, into the space. So you can learn a thing and validate that you've learned a thing, basically, fundamentally. And so that's really my next big thing, because like, at the end of the day, going back to kind of like, what is our mission? Like education has got to just be really, really central for mm-hmm. us. So that's the next big thing. You know, so stay tuned. I'll have more details on that in the next couple of months, I think.
I'm excited to see what unfolds.
Yeah. It's super exciting. I love thinking about that stuff and, you know, being able to just be creative and get feedback and tweak it and make it. And yeah, it's gonna be good.
And let me know if I can help you in any way. Cause like, I love like working and collaborating with like anyone really in the sex space too. Cause it's like, having these conversations, even just like here on this podcast, on the Moan app, like on social media, in person, events, whatever. It's just like the more that we can have conversations with people within the space, it's like the more we can grow collectively too. Because it's like, this is how we change the stigma. This is how we change society, is by normalizing these conversations.
Absolutely. I so firmly believe in that like community and a community of communities, an ecosystem, that, you know, because we're facing such a huge wall of stigma, and it's such a huge wall of like societal norms that are just so fundamentally broken. And I'm very confident that we're going to reshape that. But the only way to do it is if we're supporting each other, right? And, you know, we're building together. And that's the thing that, like, I'm so animated by this, because it'll happen, but we just have to help each other. And, you know, having the opportunity to be here and speak with you and speak with your audience it's major for us, because, you know, and I think it's so core to me of what I'm hopeful for and what I hope to give in return, you know.
Is there anything else you feel like you would like to share or cover?
We definitely covered a lot. Oh, one thing. Yeah. On community, I think one other way, you know, trying to hold that paramount, one of the ways that we also do that is in creating a data safe and privacy safe space, right? So, you know, I kind of see a stark difference between, for lack of a better framing, community versus capitalism. Where community is about mutual benefit and enrichment, whereas capitalism is just about like economic extraction.
The bottom line, yeah.
Right. And So for us, what that means is we've made the very affirmative decision that we're not going to sell data to data brokers. We're not going to have, you know, highly targeted advertising that is effectively the same thing. And so, you know, that means that that's less dollars, obviously, that we get in, but we think that that's a fair exchange. So the only way that we, you know, make a return, make money, is when people subscribe to kind of like the premium features, which we think is like kind of like, at the end of the day, hopefully a fair exchange. We're always ears to our members, like, how can we make sure that we have a fair offering here? Because that community aspect is really core. And so trying to do right by that community is, you know, we're trying to do that from the outset.
I think that's great. And I think that's like so noble and almost like brave in a sense too. It's just like, okay, knowing like, yeah, I can make a lot of money doing this, but like what's actually important, integrity and safety and values totally. Of the community and the people that I'm here to support. Like,
yeah.
I'm with it. I support that. Like at the end of the day, it's like, I operate very values based too. I'm like, I can't die with money, so how can we just support each other and like have good experiences and like create more yes.
100%.
Challenges have you been experiencing in the process of setting up Hetero as an app?
Apple, Google, you know, your systems that we all have to jump through that are really grounded fundamentally in stigma. You know, so for us, we've run into this issue with the app stores on a variety of things. So like, you know, sex positivity is one of our core guidelines on the app. And we can't even say sex positivity because sex is like forbidden. It's verboten to use that fucking word. And so it's fine. We have a workaround. We say pleasure positivity. And then, you know, I think people understand what we're getting at. But yeah, we had to go through so many hurdles. And so for Apple, initially, we were rejected because they said we have too many dating apps. And I said, well, that's absurd.
Like, farmers only? Like, why does that have to exist? What?
Seriously. And the thing, and I pointed out to them, I was like, yeah, you do have a lot of dating apps on your platform. Like, one thing, like, really, it should be the people who are using your platform that decide, not you. Like, that's one, that's one big thing. The other is, look at how literally almost all, and certainly all the mainstream like dating and hookup apps are, the way that they frame and build their systems and architect around specifically gender is like, it's really, really problematic, because you can select your gender identity. You know, typically now you can select a wide range of gender identities. And then they say, okay, that's great. Do you want to be seen by people who are looking for men or women? And it's like, well, if I'm non-binary, that doesn't work for me. And it's, so it's like they kind of have this illusion of choice. And then it's like, no, because their system is designed a certain way. Like, nope, this is what you get. You know, we're going to put you right back on that binary. And, you know, it also, they penalize gender fluidity and gender discovery, right? So, you know, for instance, on Bumble and Tinder, like for Bumble, the way it works is basically if you change your gender identity, they say, okay, you can only ever do this one more time. And by the way, you're losing all of your matches and all of your chats.
What the fuck?
So they just, it's like, it's very clearly penalizing someone for gender discovery, which is very common, right? Like,
but yeah, what if one day you identify more feminine, one day you're more masculine, one day you're like, I just want to be androgynous and just live my life as any, like, it doesn't matter. Like, yeah. why are you penalized for that? When right. for a lot of people, it's like, it is a discovery, just like your sexual orientation. Exactly. You don't know immediately. Oh God, I'm sorry. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, so I mean, and that was the point that I made to them. Like, look, here's how our system works. Point to me anyone else that does it in this way. And, you know, that was grounded in a lot of research that we did. You know, we took time to think through what was the right way for us to bring gender identity into our platform to, you know, to allow for gender fluidity and sexuality fluidity, and it fundamentally put us in a totally different place. And so that was the point that I made to them. Like, if you can point one other, you know, like mainstream platform that's doing this, like, cool. But if not, you should really let us on. And then they said, thank you for this information. And they let us on.
Amazing.
So that was, yeah, so that was like one of, you know, all these little hurdles that we have to jump. And that was one of them.
Yeah. Frustrating. Amazing. How long did that whole process take?
It was right to the wire. So I think that we first went on for App Store approval, I want to say in like maybe late March or early April of 2021. And we didn't get final approval until July of 2021. Like literally three or four days. And, you know, so for an app, for particularly like a hookup or dating app, you know, it matters that there are people on the platform for it to be, you know, a worthwhile thing to even like download or check out. So we had this big plan for this like launch party out on Fire Island, this, you know, in connection with this, with the underwear party. It's a fun thing. And it felt like, okay, this is going to be like a good place for us to launch. But like, we had already locked that in. And then it was like 3 or 4 days before that, that we finally got the final approval. And I was sitting on the New York City subway on my way to Reese Beach, because I was thinking about other promotion events that we could do. And like, just the relief that washed over me in that moment was really incredible. Because like, this means this whole thing I've been planning for wasn't, you know, like it wasn't just gonna blow up in my face kind of thing.
Wow. So, yeah. Universe had your back in that
one. It sure did.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. This has been an amazing experience. How can our listeners connect with you and download the app?
Yeah, so we're live on both app stores. So if you just go in the app store and look for Hetero, it's spelled H-E-A-D-E-R-O. Or you can find us on our website, hetero.com, spelled the same way. Or you can, you know, find us on our socials. Really, our handle everywhere is at Hetero App. So it's H-E-A-D-E-R-O-A-P-P. If you look for us in any of those places, you'll find us, and we'd love to connect and get feedback and learn how we can best grow together.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This has been incredible. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
I love it. Okay.
For those of you still listening, I have an upcoming group program called Your Attraction Path that is starting on Tuesday, June 7th. And for the listeners here today, you can get 15% off of the 30-day program with code YourPleasurePath. I'm so excited to bring this program together because it will help you really understand how you operate in your relationships, sexual, romantic, or otherwise, so that you can stop settling for less than you deserve and start attracting the relationships that you actually desire. You can go to yourpleasurepath.com/yourattractionpath to learn more about this program, and make sure to follow me on Instagram and TikTok at I am Catherine Drysdale. Thank you.